Cool. It's working. Hey, my camera still works. It's nice to meet you. So who are you?
I'm Subraj Sanjal. I'm a program manager on the Office User Experience team.
And we're over in Building 36.
Yep.
The big building.
It's where Office happens.
Yay! And what are we going to see today?
So what we want to look at today is ribbon extensibility. So if you've heard of Office 2007, it's got this new UI called the ribbon. It's pretty exciting. It's really cool.
Yeah, Julie Larson Green showed it to us.
Yeah. So exactly.
Are you on her team then? Or are you?
Yep. Okay. I'm on Julie's team.
Excellent. So we know we're... Mm-hmm. You guys did a great job, by the way. I love the ribbon. I was really... It was funny. Did you watch that video we did with her?
Oh, yeah.
I was really skeptical. I was like, why the hell did you guys change the UI? That's the worst thing you could have gotten. Because everybody in the world is used to Office as UI.
Yeah.
And
Now
that I've actually been using it, it's like, I can't go back. You know, and the old one is like, this... The wrong way to do it. The new way is a lot nicer.
Yeah, that's how we feel too. I mean, exactly. It's a big change, but once you start playing with it, you really begin to enjoy it and you really like it a lot.
Yeah. So first of all, we haven't seen the ribbon for a while. You guys added a new little round thing at the top, and so you might just show us around. What build are you using here on these demos?
So right here, this is Beta 1 PR on my machine. We have a more recent build. On Eric's machine.
Okay.
So, yeah, sure, we can take a look at the current ribbon really quick.
Yeah.
So, hope you can see it pretty well.
Oh, very well, yep.
So this is Beta 1 TR. We've got the same tabs that you can see. They've been rearranged a bit. What we've done is we've updated the visuals for Beta 1 TR. So, as you can see, we've got what once was called the file menu. Now we've got this Office button here that you can drop and you still get the same file menu.
Yep.
We've got the quick access toolbar, which is where you can put your favorite commands. So you can, right click on any command in the ribbon and edit the quick access toolbar. And that's right there. It's in the title bar. We've got all the standard controls. We've got, live preview of changes. Some of my favorite controls that really stop you from going back to Office 11 or when you go back.
Yep.
It really hurts you is, the one-click access to a lot of different things, whether it's like changing the font size or just hovering and getting different styles applied to your document.
Yeah, it's really weird getting used to the hovering thing. Mm-hmm. It's as if you selected some text and you hover over it, it just changes and it's like, whoa, that's... But once you get used to it, it's like, when you go back to the old one and it doesn't do that anymore, it's like, oh yeah, I'm on the old version.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so we've got, write, insert page layout, references, mailings, review. Also got the view tab, so you can change the view with a tab. It's pretty cool.
So what do you guys do on? And I don't think I've introduced you, the other person in the office here. Who are you?
I'm Eric Fowler. I'm a developer on the user interface team. So
wow. So you actually build this stuff?
Yeah, I'm a programmer.
Excellent. And what do you do here?
So I'm a program manager on the extensibility model.
So you take the credit. For his work. that's my little chunk of what a PM does.
Yeah. Or right after he does his work, I write the documentation.
So. Cool. So what are we going to see today?
So what we want to look at today is, the ribbon's a really cool UI space, but as a developer, what can you do with it?
Right.
So what we've got is, a set of tools that let you build upon the new user interface.
Okay.
So our primary tool is XML. So you give us XML and it applies to the ribbon. And it's an XML description of your customizations that you want to apply over the ribbon. And
now back over there. Because XML is used everywhere in this company now.
Yep.
I was just over talking to the mobile team and they were showing me, to the Sideshow team, and they were showing me XML turns on the Sideshow, which is a new display on the new laptops coming out next year. What's the scenario? Why would a developer, first of all, what can a developer do? Why would a developer be building extensions? What is it? Does it let them build anything? Give me a little context of why I would be a developer coding XML.
Okay, sure. So we can
sending XML to your toolbar.
From the totally high level. So you're an Office developer. You want to build solutions on top of Office. Office has been a platform since its inception.
Yeah.
We had the first developer conference in 2005, but for many years, almost many decades, we've had solutions built on top of Office.
Right.
And those solutions do many different things. For example, you could have a solution that, in Office 2003, adds a button, or as a toolbar. Okay. And it adds a toolbar a very specific functionality.
So and like so SAP could make a toolbar that goes into Excel or something like that.
Exactly.
And brings data in and or does something with it, right?
Right. SAP or any sort of add-in vendor or solution provider or, you know, a corporation's particular department, like for example, banks have like heavy customizations that they perform in Excel to create like fully customized applications out of Excel that you can no longer recognize as Microsoft Office Excel, right? Yeah. And those are called dictator applications.
Okay.
So you've got the whole gamut of I'm just an add-in writer selling an add-in over the web to I am a corporate developer at a corporation and I'm building a solution that completely changes the way Excel works and I need to modify the UI in a drastic way to get that effect.
Okay.
So that's why you as a developer would want to change right. the default interface that we ship out of the box.
Cool. And I don't have to write C# or C++ to do this. I just have to put together an XML file and send it over to your toolbar and I can add myself in there now.
Well, there are a bunch
of
different...
Is that sort of what you were hinting at when you said XML?
There are a bunch of different ways you can do it. So
Okay. You
have to be... there's a couple different ways, right? So there's document-based solutions.
Okay.
Right? So if you have a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet, you could... there's another talk on the new file format. Right? It's all XML parts.
Yep.
And so one of those XML parts can be your UI customizations.
Ooh.
Okay, so one of those parts in the new file format can just be like, hey, I want to add a tab with the following buttons on it.
Okay.
And so when you open that document, you'll get, you know, the standard interface plus that tab.
Okay.
So that's one way to do it without writing
any C-sharp.
We
did a whole separate video on the file format, which if you watch that video, you'll totally understand why that's cool. Because you can put little pieces into the file format, which is really, really neat.
Exactly. So that's one way to do it.
This is the first time we've really, well, the first time we've had XML as a default file format.
Yep.
Developers can get inside the file format and make sense of it and stick things in there, pull things out.
Right, poke at cells, poke at different things without ever opening the application.
Yep.
Yeah, and at the same time, they can add customization to the user interface without ever opening the application.
Okay.
So we think that's a pretty powerful tool. And that's how you would affect the UI without writing a single line of C# or C++ or anything like that.
All right.
So
that's in
one
the document. Format,
yeah.
So I can go inside the inside the zip file, basically, which is the file format, and put things in there and take things out.
Exactly.
Cool. What's the other kinds?
And so the other way to do it is you write an add-in, right? So you can write a COM add-in. That's one of the add-in models for Office.
Yep.
And you basically implement an interface that we expose called iRibbon Extensibility.
Okay.
And you give us your markup. So when we load your add-in, we call the interface and say, hey, what's your markup that you want to apply to the ribbon? And then you just pass it back to us, and then we apply that to the ribbon. So that's the other way to customize.
Got it.
The ribbon.
If I bring an add-in that was made for Office 2003 into this, what does it still work, or do I have to rework it to make it work with Office 2007?
Yeah, it still works. So Okay. We can show demos of all of that. Maybe, Eric, you want to show that demo?
Right now of Office 2003?
Sure.
I didn't care about Office 2000, but
or how it works.
I just wanted to make sure that it works.
Yeah.
And I'll take your, unless you have a cool demo
that
shows maybe some of the things that you could do to an old one to update it for the new one. I don't know. I haven't seen your demos. This is Channel 9.
Yeah.
We're living live.
Okay. So we'll make an example file on Office 2003 and then
Okay. Open
it in 12 and see how it goes.
Okay.
We're in Word. You could go customize, create a new toolbar. We'll name it My Toolbar. Now here's the toolbar. See, I screwed that up. Make it available in a document. Okay, so now My Other Toolbar. Okay, so now we can drag buttons on. This is how you would design your UI for your add-in. You could go and create a toolbar and attach it to a template
yep.
your add-in loads.
Is everybody as fast as you are?
Is that doing this? I don't know. So then if we wanted the toolbar to have some code, we could
yep.
go down DBA, we could say record macro, assign it to a button on the toolbar. So have a macro there, and then let's say the macro types out some text, blah, blah, make some of it bold. And stop recording macro. So now this toolbar has some code in it. So then, say we save this file. Save it. Now when we open it up on
Office 12. And so that file has the toolbar in it.
Yeah, so that file, I attached that toolbar to the file. So now, we could go in Visual Basic, and then see the code that generated that macro, or the code is. Yep. I added a macro in the template. So.
There's your blah blah code. Yep.
Yeah, so actually, that won't work. Well, anyway, whatever. So it won't work when I click the macro over here because I added it to the wrong file. But anyway, so if I just close that file and then open it over here, 2007, we see blah blah blah. So that's the document. And then any add-ins from 2003, basically they would add buttons to menus and toolbars.
Yep.
And we don't have the menus and toolbars, and so there's no straightforward way of saying, okay, well, there's a button on the tools menu, where do we put it over here? Because it's all different.
Yep.
So we just take everything, put it on the add-ins tab. And so if you have a toolbar in your document, it'll show up in the custom toolbars group on the add-ins tab.
Okay.
So, and all the buttons will still work. If I had attached the right macro, oh, it does work.
Sort of. Okay, yeah.
Didn't bold it, but anyway. So all your old code from 2003 will still work on 2007, although it will be in the add-ins tab because it's not straightforward about how to map toolbars to the ribbon and menus. So you'll probably want to upgrade your add-in to make it look good and professional. So, but that should be pretty straightforward because you just have your XML reference the same macros that you were calling with the toolbar, and then it should work pretty well.
Interesting. That's very cool.
That's a demo of the 2003.
It still works. The demo
still works. So we did a lot of work to make sure that your existing code still runs in Office 12, right? In Office 2007. So right out of the box, if you had an add-in that adds a toolbar and does some customizations, you know, that's going to work on Office 2007 if it doesn't check the version of Office and try to stay on Office 2003. Yeah. You know, so we've made our best effort to make sure the code migrates forward.
Very cool. What can I do in terms of extensibility on 2007 that I couldn't do on 2003? Is there new APIs or new functionality that's available to me?
Yeah, so there's just a new way of doing things with 2007. Okay. First of all, we designed the model such that, you know, if your add-in or solution or document is loaded, its customizations show up, right? So if your add-in's loaded or your document's loaded or your solution is loaded, its customizations show up in the UI.
So let's say Eastman Kodak did a special version of Word for Eastman Kodak, had a yellow logo or a yellow toolbar or something, and had functionality to automatically put their logo into my Word documents and stuff. If they sent me that Word document that had all that customization built into it, it would show up on my version of Office even though I didn't load anything?
Right. What you're saying? Yeah, so that's sort of what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is in Office 2003, you know, we had an interesting model where the toolbar set wasn't exactly perfect. Like, it didn't behave exactly as you wanted.
Okay.
And we actually have a screenshot of this on the wall that you might want to take a look at.
Oh, sure.
So, so that's an example of what happens when you open a bunch, maybe, I think it was, you know, several thousand documents. Excel has a document set that contains, you know, customizations and various things, and they've collected this set from customers so they can, you know, understand what customers are doing with documents. They opened all of those documents on one copy of Excel 2003, and what happened was the UI just sort of got mangled by all of these documents.
Yeah.
Right, and so that's what you get when you do that. For 2007, what we've done is made sure that only if the document's open does its customization show up. When the document gets closed, the customization goes away. So it sounds like a very simple principle, but we've made sure it applies across all the applications, and we've done a lot of work to make sure that, okay, I've uninstalled this add-in.
Okay.
Now this add-in is no longer going to be in the user interface.
Interesting.
And that's, believe it or not, that's a large part of the innovation we've done here, is to make sure that one of the things is to make sure that your interface, you know, stays consistent. When you've got an add-in, that add-in shows up. When you've got a solution, that shows up. when it goes away, it also leaves the interface as well. So you don't get in this weird state where your toolbars are sort of getting eroded over time from the different things that you're loading up.
That's cool, because I've had that mess. Not quite that bad. But, you know, you import three different macros, and all of a sudden your toolbar is like, sort of like that. This cool stuff. So what else is new? What else are we going to see that's different about extensibility inside Office? Did we cover any new API sets? Or there,
oh, yeah, yeah. So yet. That's what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
So I guess the first thing, at a high level, just really quick, what you can do is, like, you can add your own tabs. You can add your own groups, which are, you know, sort of the subgroups under the tabs are called groups.
Okay.
So under the insert tab, we've got pages, table, illustrations. Let's say you created your own tab. You can create your own groups. You can use all of our, well, most of our control types. I think in Office 11, we only had about 4 or 5 control types. In Office 2007, we have about 15 different control types that you can play with as a developer. So we've got, you know, combo boxes.
Let me zoom in there so I can. So those are combo boxes.
Combo boxes. You can use buttons, so you can have your own custom buttons. And these buttons are actually stealing their images from built-in buttons. So we've made it really easy for you to just grab using the control name that we're going to expose, like the image from the save button. And we can show you the code behind that too.
Okay.
So if you just want to throw something together really quick, you don't want to sit there authoring 32 by 32 icons. It's really easy to grab images from, you know, Office's extensive icon set.
And I can put my own icons in there. Is there anything funny that I have to do with the icons compared to the Office 2003?
It's actually, we've made it a bit more powerful in Office 2007.
Okay.
So in 2003, you would have your icon picture, and then you'd have a mask, and the mask would, which would be another picture, and that would describe, you know, what's transparent. And that's how you would get your transparency. You'd have your, like, icon image, which is the picture, and then you'd apply the mask over it.
Yep.
In Office 2007, we now support an alpha channel in icons. So you can just give us an image with an alpha channel, like a, you know, PNG file, and we render that in the ribbon. So here's an example of that. So this button right here has a custom icon, and you can see the fade, the soft fade around it, which is possible with the alpha channel.
Yep.
And you get all the effects of Office's built-in UI for free. So you get, like, the hover effects and the down effect of this toggle button. That's what the control is. And so you don't need to worry about things, and we support an alpha channel in images.
Wow, that's really cool.
Another cool thing is that we've got built-in controls. So it's really easy to reference, like, hey, I want my own custom group on my own tab, and I want to have italic and bold on this tab. So it's really easy to reference built-in controls and stick them on your own group so they can be part of your solution.
You could come up with Joe's company group instead of calling it formatting.
Exactly.
And you could put a box and put whatever you wanted into that box.
Yep.
Or that group, I guess. Very cool.
One of the cool controls we've got as well is Office 2007 has galleries all over the place. So a gallery typically rolls up a set of common options that you would find in the dialog into a one-click, you know, apply to your document, right? So that's what we use galleries for in the ribbon. So
okay,
here's an example. This really isn't an example of that. This is an example of inserting a loan officer into your document. And so this is just an example of one of the different types of galleries you can make with Office 2007. So this gallery is just straight pictures. There's no labels. And we imagine that developers could do a lot of exciting things with this.
Could that be calling a web service and dynamically changing that menu, or are you stuck with static menus?
You're absolutely. For a gallery, you could, you know, populate this off the internet.
Okay.
When you click, it could, you know, go off to the web and get the current weather forecast or whatever you want to have.
Ooh.
Or, you know, whatever images you want as well. So it's pretty cool, pretty powerful.
Okay.
And we show some of that dynamism here, where you click the hire button, and, you know, it turns out we have an additional loan officer here in our office.
It's good to see Bill still employed.
Okay, so that's what you can do.
Yep.
A very, very brief overview of what you can do. And how you would do it in code. All right, so here I am.
In code, do you have choice of VB and C# and C++, or are you stuck with one language?
Yep, you have everything that COM supports.
COM, okay.
So, yeah. C#, C++, VB.NET, VB6, that all works.
Cool.
So all I've done in code is I built a shared add-in project. So there's a wizard in Visual Studio 2005 that lets you build a COM add-in. Just really quick, one click, you get a free COM add-in.
Okay.
And all I've added to that to make our extensibility work is I've added the iRibbon extensibility interface, and I've implemented the getCustomUI method. So I return a markup file. I return an XML file.
Oh, there's the get.
Yeah. So Office calls getCustomUI, and then we return this markup file. And so we can take a really fast look at the markup file.
And do you ship samples so people can look at your code and make sure that they're doing it the right way?
Yeah, totally. So for beta 2, which is coming out in, I think, the next month or two, we are going to have really good developer documentation on MSDN, and we definitely want to have samples out there because really that's the best way for people.
It's mid-April right now, so this video might not get out for a little while.
Okay.
I'm running 4 week or 5 week lead times right now.
Okay. But,
so sometime in late May, late June, sometime before summer.
Yeah.
Really gets cooking. Cool. How do normal people get beta 2, by the way?
How do normal people get beta 2?
Yeah, from people who don't work here.
It's a
web demo. We all get it because we work here, but.
I think it goes out to over a million people, and it's a download off the web. I'm not sure how you sign up for that program.
Okay. We'll try to find that out. Let's link that out there. MSDN, Universal, and all those guys will get it for sure.
Yeah, I'm assuming so. Yeah.
Cool. So what else did you do in your code there?
All right, so we can quickly look at some of the markup.
Okay.
What I want to do is show a different example that, well, actually, we'll just show the one that's showing right now. So here's what your markup looks like when you want to mess around with the Ribbon.
Okay.
It's called, the schema is called Custom UI, and you basically start out, you say, like, okay, I want to work on the Ribbon.
Yeah.
I want to play inside the tabs. And I'm going to create my own custom tab called Contoso Solution. And I guess we could rename this to Channel 9.
Okay.
Close this. Okay. So now we're looking at the Channel 9 tab. We've got a group. And so the first group is called Transactions. We can call it Channel 9 Finances. And then I've got a label control, a combo box, another combo box. I've got my custom buttons, they're button tags, and what I've done with those is I'm stealing images for the custom button. So the first button gets its image from the built-in control that is named save. So before, if you wanted to steal built-in images, you'd have to have a control ID number. You'd have to be like 36, and you would magically have to know what that number was and what control it mapped to. In Office 2007, we're actually going to expose the list of names that don't change when you localize, so that you know your add-in can work in different locales, but you're always still referring to the same built-in controls and images.
Okay.
So we think that's pretty powerful.
Very.
So here's my custom button. I get the image for the button with a callback, and I return an iPicture disp. So here's that S button called special. And Office says, hey, what's the image for this button? And then the code comes back with like, okay, here's my custom image. And if I wanted to update the image dynamically, I could do that. So I could, you know, in my solution, something could happen where, you know, I want to update the image for this button. And then I say, hey, Office, my button needs to be updated. And Office says, oh, okay, great. And then we call you again, and we update the image for your button.
Okay.
Then we've got the gallery control. So the gallery control is entirely dynamically populated. There's just a bunch of callbacks. So in this case, get item image that populates it with all the different images for all the items. And then we've got a toggle button for hiring. Whoops, don't want to set a breakpoint. So let's hit F5. I changed a few things. We changed channel 9 and stuff.
Yep.
And we can see that work. Okay, so now I got the channel 9 tab. Channel 9 Finances, and there you go. So, the Channel 9 tab.
Wow, that's cool. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting, and of course, you could also turn off built-in tabs, hide built-in groups. Eric can also show you there's you know, a way to actually turn off the majority of the UI, if not all of it.
What's the coolest extension that you've seen so far?
So far on Office 2007?
Yeah.
That's a good question. We've seen a bunch. Yeah, I guess one of the coolest ones I've seen are some of the internal Office add-ins. Like, believe it or not, Microsoft has a whole host of add-ins that work on Office, so it's been really exciting to see some of the add-ins that are building on our model. You know, as we're still finishing it up, add-ins are building upon our model. One of those, there's a couple.
When are they going to remove free expense reports to Office? I hate the expense report. It's the bane of my existence.
They're trying.
But those are the kinds of things you can move to build a complete custom Office UI and toolbar.
Yeah, and we have demos of that too. Do you want to? We could show like a highly customized thing, the start from scratch stuff.
Yeah.
If you have it. Or show me whatever you have there. But
All right. In the meantime, anyone can register for Office Beta 2 if you just go to the Office website, and then over here you can register now.
So that's Microsoft.com/office?
Yeah. And then you have to have a Passport account, but then you can sign up to...
Then you need a Passport account to play Xbox. Yeah. I did that last night.
So you can request to be a beta tester that way, and then... We'll send you a mail when Beta 2 is released, and then you can download it at home.
Excellent.
So that's how you do that, if you want to do that.
But very cool.
Anyway, all right. So, what should we show a demo? Do you want to see a demo of the file format and how to do that?
Yeah. Sure. You can do start from scratch and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So if we want to make a file that has XML in it, we should choose an XML editor. Since we work in Office, our favorite XML editor is Word. We'll spin down to the developer.
It's interesting that you describe it as an XML editor.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't think of it as an XML editor, would they?
Well, Word does pretty much everything you would want. Well, not everything, but a whole lot of stuff. So there's a developer tab built in and has XML, so we can schematize this document. I've added RibbonX to my schema library, so click OK. And as far as we're showing, the root tag is custom UI, and then you can go to the ribbon. And if you want to do the start from scratch mode, as you were talking about, it's an attribute. You can set start from scratch equals true.
What does start from scratch mean?
That'll take away all the tabs, and then it'll remove all these extra things on the file menu. And you can choose, like, I want to add the write tab back, and I want to add the save button back on the file menu. So it's an easy shortcut.
So you can completely build a customized version of Word, you know, that might only have one button on it.
Yeah, and some people like to do this, like IT departments, someone is opening up something like an expense report, and they don't want their user to print that document or save it as another file format, they'll just get rid of all the extra UI in that document, and there's just like one button, save this and close and send it to the IT department, something like that. So now I have just a quick shortcut to do that.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
And then, so now we started from scratch in this document, well, once it's reloaded, so now we'll have to add our own tab.
Can you show us what it looks like when it... Well, never mind. I believe you that it has nothing on it.
Yeah. But we'll have just like one tab, and everything else will be gone. So,
okay.
All right. So then we add a tab. We'll have to give our tab an ID. Just like my tab. And we should give it a label, too. So label my tab. And then we'll add one group. We should have to give that an ID and a label also. So my group.
All right, how many extensions have you personally built? Because you go pretty fast.
Yeah.
So,
I built a whole lot of add-ins for Office. Because
I bet you're one of the more productive people here.
Like every day I have to build test add-ins that test out every feature we're adding. So then there's a whole lot. And let's add one button here. So we give a button an ID. These IDs you can reference in code later, so you can see which button is being clicked and things like that. So that's why we have to add the ID.
Okay.
And we'll give it an image. We'll give it the bold button image, so we don't have to make up our own right now. And we'll give it a label. My button. And we'll give it an action, because if the button just says nothing, it doesn't do any good. So
yep.
You can use the on action. It's a delegate type, so you can give it the name of your macro. So my macro. Alright, so now we got our start from scratch ribbon with one tab, one group, one button. So go save as XML. Save data only, so Word doesn't input anything else. So save. There's our file. Now we have to make the document. We're actually going to add this XML too. So make a new document. This is my sample document. And then we'll have to write that macro that we referred to.
Okay.
So we'll go, did I call it my macro?
I believe so.
Yeah. And so macro takes a parameter, which is the button that actually gets clicked. So that way you can have, you can use the same macro to handle every button, and then you can say which button it is. So nice and handy. Oops. So, and we'll have this new button pop up a message box, everyone's favorite VBA function. It'll say hello world. That's what that macro will do. Save the document. I have to save it as a macro
that's,
enabled.
That's
document.
The only app I've ever written, by the way. It's hello world.
Hello world. Yeah.
It's not quite true, but almost true.
So now we have to save as a macro enabled document, because now with a new format, documents with macros have a different extension, so you can tell the difference immediately when you get the document. So we'll save that, and then we can close Word now. So here's our document, and since it's all a zip file, we can rename the .zip and open it up in WinZip. We see all the parts. So now here's the XML I saved, so just drag that file in there. I named it doc1.xml.
Oh, you just dragged it in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now I have to tell the document to load this file that I just dragged in as custom UI, because you can drag in whatever XML you want, and then you have to tell Word what kind of XML it is, and if it should use it, or if it's your own XML, or whatever. So,
yep.
So we give it a relationship. This is all...
What did you just do there?
I opened the rels file.
Oh, the rels file.
It's part of the structure
relationships.
Of the... Yeah. Part of the structure of the new file format is, I think Brian Jones covered that in his video, but
yeah,
so
that was a while ago though. So
yeah,
I forgot.
So now we see Word wrap. You can see there's a bunch of relationships here, and then so we'll copy one. You don't have to retype it. Give it a unique ID, and then the target was named doc1.xml.
The unique ID you came up with there, you just picked the next number in the
list?
Yeah,
pick the next number.
Okay, good.
Because it just has to be unique.
Okay.
And so that way you can refer to, I want this relationship later, but giving it the ID. And then, so we can see that these relationships have things like the core properties of the document and the document itself. So we actually have to change that to be the relationship ID for the custom UI, which is Microsoft. So that's the relationship ID for Office UI extensibility.
Right. Now, how did you know that?
I've typed it in like every day.
How would a beginner know that?
A beginner would read the documentation and it would list that out.
Okay.
And we'll also have tools. And since it's all XML and zip, you can write a tool that just adds it in. And so we expect a lot of people to do that. We already have some internal tools that do all this for you, creates the relationship, but just wanted to show the details without using a tool so it doesn't look like I did anything sneaky.
Excellent.
No magic.
So
we should definitely show the tool as well.
So there we save that and then close. So now since it's zip, I rename back to .zip or .docm.
Yep.
Open it up.
.docm is the new file format for the
file format with macros. And looks like it didn't work. So let me just double check that. .zip. Sorry, doc1.xml. And then, wait, what is this? There's a relationship we added. Just copy that. I think I might have added it to the wrong .rels file. So let me just double check. Yeah, okay. So I added the wrong relationship. So paste it in that one. Yes. So actually, there's the root relationship that is related to the document, and then we have to take the document's relationship and then relate that to the UI.
So okay.
I think that was what the problem was. Move that up. Still didn't work.
Debugging, no problem.
Yeah, we have to.
This shows that it's not a Flash movie.
Yeah. Relationship. Oh, I didn't save that file. Okay, save. Update. Okay. For some reason it didn't save. Dot zip. Well, anyway, we're just going to use the tool and cheat. As you can see, it's a little...
Eric gives up.
It's a little complicated to do by hand, but that was okay. That should have been all you had to do. But anyway, so here's our little tool.
And we definitely want to have the tool out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's our... Just open up that file, and then let's copy all that XML that Word generated, paste it in, validate. Okay, it's well-formed, since Word won't save a malformed document. And now... Open it up. Still not there. Let me run the tool again. Open sample document. Oh, there's a bug in the tool that doesn't save the file unless you push Control S. I think that's why it's not there. So, yeah. Do this again. Paste, save. If you just exit the tool, it doesn't save. So There we go.
It does work.
So now, since we started from scratch, we got rid of everything. So all the default URI is gone, and the file menu is just stripped down to the bare essentials, like new, open, save as. So you gotta have those. You can hide those if you wanted, but and you could show other things like save and print.
Yeah.
Email, save to PDF. So
interesting.
And here's our button. Clicks our macro, which says "Hello World." So.
Yay!
And it has the bold button as its icon. So there's a example of a document.
And so if you open another document, are the customizations going to apply to that document?
If I open
as well?
Another document, so we Control N, we have another document. Now all the default UI is back. So
got it.
So it only applies to that one document. We don't have the case like in the picture where you open one file, toolbar pops up, and then. It's in there for all the other files.
Is there a way for a developer to programmatically change the default UI so that that macro always sticks, and every time the user opens up a new document or gets a new document from me, that macro's there.
In that case, you'd use a Word template. There's a normal dot dot. I don't know if you get a message if it gets corrupted, but most people don't ever know what it is. But there's the normal template, which all the default documents are from, and you can add custom UI to that document, and then every document that you create based off that template will have the custom UI applied.
Got it.
Or you could write a global COM edit in C# if you wanted to write code. But
so I don't like writing code. That's your job. So,
but you could customize the UI. Yeah. Like I didn't have to write any code except that one VBA macro to get that to work. So you could take away all the tabs and then say, I want just bold, italic, and font. And then that's it, or I want just what I want, and then you can make up your own custom ribbon using that. So
very cool.
We expect that people that got used to being able to drag and drop their buttons around will enjoy doing that, because they just have to write XML, no code involved. So, although we already have customization of adding to the toolbar. Oh, that's what I forgot to show.
Yeah.
I added to the toolbar, it shows up on this document. But one thing that didn't work before was user customization of add-ins, because your add-in would have to add the button using the object model, and then it would have to wait when the document closed and then delete the button. And if the user had actually copied that button to another toolbar, when your add-in closed, even if it was good enough to delete the button, it wouldn't delete the user's copy of the button. So that caused a lot of problems. So some people would just disable all user customization, and then users didn't like that. But so the story of the Office 12 is the quick access toolbar, which you can just add any button to. And why'd it gray out? I think there's a bug right now that grays out that option, but you should be able to add it, and then when you close the document, it'll just go away. And I wouldn't have to write any extra code that says, okay, add that button and then get rid of it. So add-in writer doesn't have to worry about any of that.
Very cool.
Yeah. We think it should solve a lot of the problems, like the picture. People see this add-in and they like, there's the button that was added by the add-in and they got rid of the add-in a long time ago, and they're like, where does this button come from? And people even uninstall Office and then reinstall Office, and the button is still there because the add-in left to some template file, so it should be pretty easy. And we show, we have a super tooltip over all the buttons. It shows that this button came from example file, and that way, if the user is wondering where this button came from, they can just hover over it and say, ah, button came in the document, or it came from Joe's add-in or something, and then they can go in the add-ins dialog and say, yeah, get rid of that add-in, whatever they want.
Wow. So, the user has a lot more control over
his
or her environment.
Yeah, this one we're a lot more focused on the very end user. There's a developer, which is a user, and then there's an end user that actually has to use the add-in all the time. So we wanted to make sure that the experience for the end user was as good for the developer.
Right.
So.
In terms of creating add-ins and stuff, what's the security story? Because obviously we've had security problems in the past with Office. A lot of viruses. You know, you get a Word macro and it's a virus, and then it propagates around by calling Outlook's contact lists and stuff like that. So give me a little bit about like the security work you guys have done to make sure that that kind of stuff can't happen.
Okay.
There.
So actually a lot of the security work, especially on Outlook, was already in Office 2003, but it's been pretty much extended to all the new features. So as you noticed, I had opened that document and then clicked and the macro ran. So that would be insecure because I had actually gone to macro security, enabled all macros, which is not recommended.
Yeah.
So the default is disable all macros with notifications. So we actually changed this in 2007. So if I open this document, instead of this box that pops up and says, do you want to enable macros in a document, it doesn't prompt you at first because people would see that document and say, what is this dialogue? I don't want this here. Just enable whatever. Just go away. So, so people would end up accidentally enabling macros that they didn't want to. So they could be, they could catch a Word virus that way. And then, since macros are, once you trust the macros, it can do pretty much whatever Visual Basic can do on your system, which is pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So now we have this trust bar here, which is, it says security warning, and then you can choose to enable it, and then the default is still leave it disabled, or you have to choose enable and click OK. And then then it all enables and the macro will run.
Interesting.
But, if you're a developer in an IT department, a big company, you don't want to obviously have all your users have to click that enable macro blah 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 every time you open a document. So part of the macro security is signed macros. So you can disable all macros except digitally signed macros, and then you can go in to the trusted publishers and then add your company, use digital signature, and then any macros that are signed by your IT department will just run automatically.
Right.
So if you're a big options trader and you have this nice spreadsheet that calculates things for you automatically, you don't have to worry about enabling that. So, and then, but if you just get a Word document off the internet, you don't know who sent it to you, open it up, you'll have to go through several prompts. The default is always disable macros.
Yep.
So.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad I asked because that's a much nicer model too.
Mm-hmm. And that's the story for VBA add-ins and document-based add-ins. But for COM add-ins, the add-in has to be installed on the system by an administrator. So the default is to trust any COM add-in that was installed. So it writes things to the registry in the local machine. So if only an administrator can install an add-in.
Yeah.
So
if you're on Windows Vista, which doesn't let and in default, it's not running as admin. It will ask for a password.
Yeah, probably your add-in. Like, in Visual Studio, it'll generate an installer for your add-in. And by default, if you're not administrator, it'll say you have to have administrator privileges to install this add-in. And then you type in your administrator password, or you go get your administrator, and then they can type it in, and then you can install the add-in. So it shouldn't be possible for a user to get an add-in that they don't want without having to trust it or install it. So we take security pretty seriously.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Cool. And what do you have here?
So I've got a couple things to show. Well, first we've got to show here's our cool little gallery. Yes, you can add it to the Quick Access toolbar.
The bug is not in that version.
Yeah, so I don't have the bug on my machine, so we've got a backup here. So that's pretty cool. And the other thing I wanted to show was this idea of command repurposing. So one thing we've seen people do in Office 2003 is developers want to take over what the print button does. okay, they want to take over what it does, so they get to run their own code for a little bit, and then either decide, okay, Office, you can go ahead and do the regular print, or, you know, I've done the stuff for printing, don't worry, Office, no need for you to go ahead and print.
Yeah.
So we've built this into our model as well. And I'd just like to show you how that works, because it's a little bit different than how it worked in the past.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to take a look at this XML file. We have a command section in our markup, and what I'm going to do now is disable some built-in commands. So I'm going to grab growfont2, we're going to revise the names by the time we ship, but I'm going to have growfont2, and I want to disable that, so I say enabled false, and I have the new command, and I want to say enabled equals false for that. I also have a sort command, and this is in Word, and when you click this sort button, I want it to run my own code.
Okay.
So that's all the markup I have, and watch what happens when I apply it. So that's custom UI-4, it's a different markup file, so I just return that markup to Office in F5. So what we've done here is enable repurposing or taking over built-in commands such that it applies wherever that built-in command appears. So you saw me earlier playing with growfont. I can say, you know, channel 9, and I can set the font size. And you'll notice that growfont2 is actually this button, so I can't click this button. I can make the font smaller, but growfont2 is disabled. That's what this button is.
Interesting.
Another interesting piece is when I
select... Does it show that it was disabled on the drop-down?
Shows that an add-in disabled that button.
Yeah.
And it tells you the add-in name.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's the tooltip for it, and it says MVP demo add-in is taking over this. That's my add-in that I've written, my sample add-in, and that's taking over this button, so it's disabled.
So you can change the behavior of it, almost anything on the toolbar?
Built-in on the ribbon?
Yeah, a lot of people like to repurpose like the print button so that if people are printing in this organization, they pop up a thing saying, what's your cost center or something like that. And that way, you can stop people from doing things you don't want, like saving is the wrong format or things like that. So now we added it like one line of XML, you can repurpose the whole function of this button.
Okay.
And then you can choose to do the default action or whatever.
Yep. And the key piece is that, you know, in the old model, you could do this, but you could only do it locally on the button. What we've enabled is, all right, it's disabled here. Any other instances of this button, wherever they show up in the UI, so we've got this toolbar called the floaty that appears, the button's also disabled here.
Oh, that's cool.
So again, it's sort of a simple thing you'd think would just work, and it does, but it didn't work like this in Office 2003. The other thing I disabled was new, so I can't create a new document. And then I also snagged...
And it was grayed out too, right?
Yep. Grayed out. And I also snagged sort. So when I click sort, it actually, you know, runs that code in my add-in that inserts case IDs.
Interesting.
So that's an example of a repurpose button. And again, it says it's been, you know, repurposed by this add-in.
Okay.
And wherever that button appears, it's going to have this new functionality.
That's cool.
So we've seen developers use that kind of functionality, so we wanted to make sure it was enabled in Office 2007.
Very cool.
Did you want to show some of the add-ins?
Yeah, we have some sample add-ins that demonstrate some more advanced functionality.
I'd love to see some.
All right. So
we got 10 minutes of tape left. So.
10 minutes? All right. So. Start up Visual Studio. Do we want to show an example of just making a quick C# add-in? Real quick.
Sure.
All right,
sure.
So go for it. We'll just show how easy it is, because the idea was that everything, like, it should be as simple as possible to make just a simple add-in that has one button that does something. So to make a new file. So we go new project. This is all Visual Studio 2005, which is published before Office 2007, so it doesn't have some new features that Visual Studio Tools for Office will have once that's released, but you can still make add-in just fine. So it's in projects, extensibility, shared add-in, has a little Office logo, and my add-in too sounds like a good name. And we got a wizard, choose what language you want, C#, all the Office add-in applications, give it a name, my add-in, tell it to boot when the app boots. So click, click, click. And then It's all done. So I imagine in the new wizard and in the Visual Studio Tools for Office, they'll have an option like, and I want a custom ribbon too. But since this is Visual Studio Time 5, it doesn't have that. So you have to add it by hand. So implement Microsoft Office Core iRibbon Extensibility. And then Visual Studio says, do you want to implement this? Yes, we do. So now I added this one function. All this stuff is just various functions that Office calls when your add-in is loaded or unloaded and changed or disabled by the user. And that way your add-in can perform functions that it should at those times. So here's a function we care about. So get custom UI and you return the XML. So we still have this XML, so we can add it to our project. To add it as a link, so I have to go add desktop data XML as link and then tell it to package this in to the project, so embedded resource, and then we'll have to use some functions so to load that resource. So using system.resources stream reader that return new stream reader reads a stream out of an assembly, just a current assembly, get a resource, get resource stream, and give the name of that file, which was doc1.xml, my add in to doc1.xml. Get the stream to the end. So, one line of code. That's a little complicated, but
one line of code. It just goes on for about 20 miles.
So, build the add-in, succeeds. Doesn't build the setup by default, so we have to build the setup program. It automatically generates a nice little setup program for you. So that way, you don't have to do all this stuff about checking permissions and getting a user administrator password, things like that. So click, 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 go, and then what was our? Oh, this is the same XML that had to start from scratch. So when we boot up, start from scratch, so now we're in just any document. So if we go to other documents, we can see since this is a global add-in, every document has this now. So it has no UI. So
very cool.
Not very useful, but works. So now you can uninstall that add-in. And then I'll show you some other example add-ins that we have.
Okay.
So, I have one. Here's an example. This example is of a gallery. So we have a gallery named My Pictures, and then it has an image and it has various functions. So, let's see, I think we can just install it. So go now run it. This add-in is one that like tries to fit in with Office and doesn't take over everything, so don't actually see it because it's just added one little button on the insert thing. So it's a gallery for inserting pictures in my pictures folder. So I happen to have all these pictures in my pictures, and then insert it, sticks the picture in the document.
Huh.
So and then with the code for this, we saw the XML. So the code, it basically says how many items are in that gallery, gets each image, and then gets the label.
Trang wrote this code, right?
Yeah, our tester used this add-in to test all the code.
If you vary the number of items in the My Pictures folder, does it update in the gallery?
Yeah, automatically. Like I could go, there's My Pictures. I could go in My Pictures and then duplicate a bunch of images and then reboot it, insert My Pictures. It's taking a while to load all those pictures, but now we can see some of them are duplicated, so updated automatically.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Learn programming bit by bit.
Yeah. Oh, actually, with that sample add-in, we forgot to actually have the button do something, which is a, it's viewers might wonder, well, now they have a button, how does it actually hook up to the code? That's the kind of the key part. So should go back to that sample. So we had that XML generated by Word, which is not formatted. There we go. All right. So an on action, and if it's a VBA add-in, which is document, it'll run a VBA macro. But
right.
If it's a C# add-in or COM, C++, whatever, we use iDispatch, which is the interface that COM uses for running functions.
Yep.
And it was made for originally for Visual Basic, but now it's been extended automatically to C#, and CLR automatically implements iDispatch on your objects. So, well, if you tell it to, which Visual Studio did automatically. So we can set on action, say my function. And then just go to our add-in here, the code, and we can say public void my function. And then it takes a Microsoft Office Core ribbon control, which is the button that was clicked. So we get control. And we just implement whatever we want in here. And if we want to have it pop up a message box, we'll have to add a reference to Windows Forms so that we can actually use the UI. So wait, I happen to have a whole lot of assemblies installed. So system Windows Forms, add that. Now we can go down and use system.windowsforms.messagebox. We can say show. We can actually show which button was clicked. So we could say button clicked. And ID was this control, which we passed in dot ID. And when I was editing, I probably made the ID something like my button. So we'll make sure that's what happens. Run. I installed it. So reinstall. Do this all the time. Alright, so now we run. Now it's gone. Click my button. Now it's running a Windows Forms control here, which is a message box, and that's it. You see the ID, which I originally specified back in Word when you're editing the XML. So now you can use whatever you want, whatever libraries you want from either Visual Basic or C#, and all kinds of stuff. So you can pop up a dialog and it automatically gets a parent window to the Word window. You don't have to worry about saying this dialog is attached to this window. You used to have to if you're just writing straight Win32C still. It's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thanks. This is,
yeah. Oh, and then we have
he'll go all night running.
There's just one more cool example.
Okay.
That definitely want to show.
You got 2 minutes to tape left. All right,
this one
we'll take it right down to the end.
It'll be real quick. So
it's like living dangerously.
So, a lot of developers, at first they say, "Oh, well, you provide XML," but sometimes you make an add-in that you don't know what buttons you want at first when you specify your XML. So they want to generate their UI later. Some people. Like existing Office 2003 add-ins would create whole menus and structures dynamically with code. So, but now since we're in XML, you can actually do that by generating XML. So, this add-in, since we're out of time, it's generating a dynamic menu, and then it's filling in file names that it gets from the C drive. So actually, just
right.
Install, run. Now we have File Explorer here, and we can browse the C drive, and it's checking the C drive automatically, filling it in, and then generating a menu. Because if it was all one XML file, there would be far too many files actually list in the XML. You'd have like menu, button for every single file, and there'd be like 20,000 files. So couldn't do that. It was just one XML. So using the dynamic XML, you can generate UI on the fly. So that's a new feature for beta 2, or it's not actually, is it in beta 2? I think it is.
I think it's in beta 2, yeah, dynamic menu control.
Yeah, this one was based right off user feedback from beta 1. They were like, well, we want dynamic things, so we can do that now.
Yeah,
very cool.
Specifically for menus.
Mm-hmm. Very cool, and so can we download some of these samples, or check out your blog, or?
Yeah, we're gonna put the samples on the documentation site, and Jensen Harris has a blog about Office User Interface, and every Thursday there's a post about Ribbon X. And
yeah.
We already got some examples of XML and pictures and things like that.
So. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for
thanks a lot.
Spending an hour with me.
We're psyched that developers should really be able to, you know, harness all the power of the Ribbon and, you know, get their commands up there. For us, the Ribbon is, at the end of the day, it's just about commands and the powers in the application. At the same time, you know, developers are going to build solutions and put their commands in the Ribbon so users can easily access them, but, you know, it's really about the power that they build into their solution that really works with the document or moves things around that is really the power that we want to expose with our commands in the Ribbon. So.
Very cool. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks.
That's good stuff.